And the rest of you be turning to the book of Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6. Holy Spirit strong in this place. Hallelujah. Can't even walk. That is so sweet. Ask y'all a question this morning, and you don't have to raise your hands. It can be just a kind of silent amen, okay? Because probably all can say this. How many of you ever have any days of anxiety? Any days of worry? A little bit of stress? Yeah, I think we... I know. Poor Nancy Rose. I have to lay oil on her today. I think we all face that, right? Days of anxiety, days of worry, days of stress. And, you know, if we could just learn, I say this all the time, but to me, my favorite Disney movie of all time, I mean, as far as the more recent ones, is The Lion King. And I love Lion King. You like Lion King, Tay? And they have a beautiful song called Hakuna Matata, right? No worries for the rest of your days. Hakuna Matata. You know, and that's easier said than done, isn't it? Because we want to say that I'm not going to worry, and that I trust God, and everything's going to be okay, and I'm a positive person, I'm going to confess His word, and there's no storms, there's no battles. But there are storms, and there are battles, and there are days we're not as encouraged as others. And there are days that are not as good as other days are in our lives. But that expression, Hakuna Matata, really should be how we feel as Christians. You know what, Lord? I'm not going to worry for the rest of my days, because You are the God of all of my days. So because You're the God of all of my days, there should be no days I truly worry or truly stress. If You're my King, and if I'm trusting You to provide for me as part of Your kingdom. And so here's a passage that Jesus uses talking about anxiety, talking about worry. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to me today because my mind is always in the own position. Always. You know, remember the cartoon? Was it Tom when Jerry gave him that potion to knock him out? And he rolls his eyelids up and it says, out. He rolls the other one up, still out, or whatever. That's Melanie. Melanie can do that at command. I'm telling you, y'all, if I said right now, Melanie, it's okay. If you want to go to sleep right now, just go to sleep. I mean, I'm like a hypnotist. Sleep. There have been times I've been talking to her where we're in bed and we just lay down and I'm like saying something. Melanie. Oh my gosh, how is that possible? In 30 seconds you fall asleep? I wish I had that switch and I don't. My mind is my worst enemy because it's always running and it's always going forward. And I'm always thinking about things that may or may not happen. And Melanie will tell me that. And this verse, the last verse we're going to read, verse 34, is so what Melanie tells me all the time. Not quite that way, but it's in a nutshell, that's what she tells me. And she's right. And we'll get to it in a little bit, but she's right. Worry cannot do anything to add to your life. In fact, it takes from your life. Stress and anxiety robs you of physical health, emotional health, and mental health. It robs you of any walking any joy in the present because you're too worried about the future. And Jesus gives us some great word here about anxiety and about trusting Him. And man, I wish we all could really get this. And Lord, I'm just going to trust You. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, I'm going to trust You. We're going to begin with verse 25, and this is the words of Jesus. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now this is a kind of an odd expression, you know, because it doesn't mean that we don't ever, you know, we don't take our life serious. What He's translates into is don't worry about what's going to happen. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't be anxious about anything. I'm your King and I've got this. You know, one thing that gets people riled up the most, even more than religion, is politics, right? And my job as a pastor is not to preach politics, and I never have, and I never will, because I'm a man that tries to unite and bring peace, and I leave the politics to who that's supposed to be, and it's not, to, in my opinion, should be a man of God to do that. You know what you believe, you know what you support, all that. But you know what? We get so riled up over politics, don't we? And we think that because who's ever president or who's ever the senator or the governor of the state, that we just can't go on. I shan't move forward. That old nasty Donald Trump, that old bad Obama, oh my gosh, we can't go on because of who's in the White House. And we get our lives so rattled by things that really most of that doesn't even come to 450 Sharon School Road. It doesn't really touch me. Not really. Not most of it. And so I'm going to step back and say, you know what? I believe what your word says, God, that the powers to be are ordained by God. So if you did not vote for the current president, you must at least trust this. And this is for every president. And I said this when Obama and whoever else, is every president. You must trust that who is in office is who is supposed to be in office at that time and at that season. And God don't need your approval or your vote to make it so. And so I trust God. I don't agree with all the leadership does, just like you don't agree with all that I do as a pastor. And I understand that, and that is fine. But I do trust God, and I trust my King. And I trust He's the one taking care of me. He's the one providing for me. So why am I getting so caught up in things whenever I've got a King, a peacemaker, a Savior, a Redeemer, a Healer, a Counselor? He's my Rose of Sharon, the Bible says. He's everything I am. He's the great I am. He's all that I need. That's who I trust, and that's who I believe in. And so why am I worried about tomorrow if God's in tomorrow? Why am I worried about when I turn 50, 60, 70 if God's still the God of me at 50, 60, 70? He's the God of all of my days, every day, all of the time. So I choose to trust my King and my Lord for all of my needs and all of my ways to be met. You lose your job, trust your King. Your car breaks down, trust your King. Your wife leaves you, praise your King. Excuse me, trust your King. Trust your King. And whatever happens in your life, God, I trust you. Even if God has mercy me, sings that song. Even if God, the healing doesn't come, I'm going to trust in you. Even if I don't see the answer, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to trust in you because you change not, and I trust that. Presidents change. Governments change. Preachers change. Everything changes. Your boss changes. Everything changes. But God doesn't change. The same God that loved you then loves you today and will love you tomorrow. The same God that died yesterday is still King today and forevermore. And nothing's going to change that. He is steadfast. He is immovable, unshakable, the rock of my salvation. He is my all in all in everything. And that's who I trust. I'm going to trust in my King, my Lord, and my Savior, no matter what man says or what man does. I'm going to trust in Him. Trust in your King. Charles had no choice for 7 years but to trust in his King. As he's behind cell doors being told what to do every moment of his day with no place to go, he had to trust something bigger than himself. And he did. And that's what got him through that hardship of his life, is opening that Word of God and reading that Bible. We would talk on the phone, and I could tell Charles was so excited about things God was showing him in the Word of God. He'd be preaching to me on the phone. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, man. I was sitting there, Mel, I'd be sitting there, I'm sitting there. I mean, he'd just be going. Trusting our King. Man, it's so much easier to trust in our King than trust in ourselves or trust in our circumstances, because circumstances are going to change. We know that. Don't blame God when a circumstance changes. Circumstances are going to change. Things are going to happen. We see the great men of God that had terrible hardships. Joseph thrown in prison. Daniel thrown in the lion's den, right? We see things that happen. Three Hebrew children thrown in a fiery furnace. None of us have been through that. We see great tragedy among the people of God, and all 12 of Jesus' original disciples that he called to follow him were martyred and executed for the cause of Christ. None of us have been there either. So don't say your day's that bad. You got your head. You ain't hung upside down on a cross with nails in you. You're not in a lion's den or a fiery furnace. You're not in prison. Thank God. So I'm just telling you. Need to listen to that song. I got a feeling, woo, that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. Woo. Black Eyed Peas. I'm telling you, that should be our thing, man. It's gonna be a good day. Why? Because God's in my day and God is good. Period. So Jesus says, don't worry about your life, what you're gonna eat, what you're going to drink, nor about your body, or what you're going to put on. He's hitting their basic needs, because that's the basic, especially this time period. It wasn't about, oh, my iPad broke, oh, my cell phone don't work. They're talking about clothes and food and shelter. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about those things. Did I not create you? I didn't create you not to take care of you. I didn't create you not to provide for you. I didn't create you not to be your Lord and Savior and watch over you all of your days. Don't take thought about that. What you're going to eat, drink, wear, what you'll put on. Look at the next verse. Is not life more than food and clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Now, have you ever been in your yard and just watched the birds in your yard? Have you ever done that? Isn't it amazing how beautiful that is? They come out and they start pecking on the ground, right? I guess they're eating something, I'm assuming, when they're doing that motion. And they're out there and, you know, they're building a little nest. Well, where does the nest come from? They're not working at Asmo 40 hours a week to earn money to buy that nest. Or they tell you like, so somehow that nest is there. It's provided by God. The little worms that they eat, the little bugs, God's providing that. And then God gave them something called wings, right? They can fly away from danger and get away. You look at those birds after a storm. I've been over to church before. We had a storm one night several years ago. I was looking at the back window, and all of a sudden at the storm, I seen a variety of different color birds all out in the yard. Cardinals, blue jays, robins, crow. I seen all of them out there at one time. I'm like, this is pretty cool. I seen a rabbit hop across there. I seen a squirrel. I'm like, what is going on? I feel like Snow White. If that could be possible in today's generation, I could be Snow White. Anyway, different story. And so I'm out my window. I'm sitting there thinking, I had a moment. Oh, God. Look, the storm. I didn't see them during the storm. They were taking shelter. But then when the sun came out, they all come out and began to be on the grass back here. I said, God, you're providing for them. They didn't. There's a revelation in this. I'm not saying we don't work. I believe in working hard. But they didn't have to work for God to provide for them. God took care of those birds. And he used that example. He says, look, the birds don't sow or reap. They don't gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you, us, not more important? Next verse. More valuable than they are. Are we not more important? Are we not more valuable than the birds? Now, look, I know some of you are real big dog and cat lovers, and I get it. And don't nobody take offense to this. But we are more valuable. I know some of you ain't going to agree with this, because some of you are you're really out there. But we are more valuable. We're a more valuable commodity in the God's eyes than the dogs and the cats and the birds and the fish. We are his people. The Bible doesn't say let all the dogs say hallelujah. Don't let all the cats meow glory. It says let all my people, let all my people. Clap your hands, all ye dogs. No, clap your hands, all ye people. Sing praise unto the Lord. Now we know all creation is under the hand of God. We get that. But church, we are the most valuable thing in God's eyes. We're his people. We're his sons and his daughters. He created a kingdom for us to spend the rest of our eternity in. That's pretty important. He's saying, if I take care of those birds, aren't you more valuable? I mean, let's put it this way. I'm a little scared to ask you this because some of y'all may be on the fence. Hopefully you're not. You want to see how valuable we are to God. Think about your own children. If it comes to putting down the dog or the kid, which one'd you put down? Now, don't answer that out loud. Just think about it. If it come down, I got to put down my kid or my dog. Which one am I putting down? Depends on what day it is, I know. So, we are more valuable than they are. And yet, he takes care of us. Look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? This actually translates better into by worrying, you can add one day to your life. Do you realize? We got to understand, God knows when our last day on earth is going to be already. We don't know that. We can exercise, we can treadmill, we can do 50,000 push-ups a day, we can eat nothing but, kale. But you know what? You can't outlive the will of God for your life. Because he has our days numbered, the Bible says. And so, why am I going to worry about what if something happens? It's only going to create total turmoil in my mind and my spirit. I want to enjoy today. Don't you want to enjoy today? Do you ever have memories of when you was a kid, if you had a good childhood, and I did, if you had a good childhood? Rodney, wasn't childhood a lot easier than adulthood? I mean, man, mom and dad did everything for you, paid the bills and took care of you and got the groceries. And, we thought at 14 or 15 our life was so hard. You don't understand what I'm going through. I'm fighting stuff. Okay, yeah, try being 45 and raising kids. Then talk to me about fighting stuff. My God, you got it made. And I remember thinking, as a child, those memories of being happy and joy and looking forward to things in life, and everything was just so exciting. Everything was just, you were happy. And then you become an adult and seasons change and life changes. You begin to worry about things. We need to understand God took care of us as a child. He knows we're going to be an adult one day. He'll take care of us as an adult as well. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our children. He's going to take care of your grandchildren. He's going to take care of your life. You can't add one moment to your life by worrying and stressing about life. In fact, we know medically that it's been proven that stress causes heart problems, cardiovascular issues, causes mental issues. I mean, it causes a lot of problems. We got people in this church I know here probably this morning that are medicated for anxiety and stress and other issues like that, trying to not go nuts or psycho or crazy. And how I feel about that's my opinion. But when you're at church on Sunday, if that helps not keep you psycho, then take your medication, because I don't want to get blowed up in here. Anyway, just saying, we take stuff to try to be calm. And here Jesus says, just be calm. Here's what Jesus is saying in 21st century talk. Chill, dudes. Just chill. I got this. Don't worry, calm down, and trust your king. I'm going to make a way for you. I've never failed you yet, and I never will fail you. Just because you don't see the resolve that you want to see doesn't mean I'm not being your king and the resolve is not being taken care of. Just trust me, because the way you want to happen may not be the way it's supposed to happen or the way I plan for it to happen. And I always say this, I'd much rather have God's plan in my life working than my own. We think we're pretty smart. We think, if I could get it to work out this way, God, if I just get that job, I'm praying for that. Maybe God wants you to have that job. Maybe there's something in that job you don't know about yet. Maybe there's something around the corner that everything looks great. Mary Melanie had a job interview years ago, and she had the job. And on the outside, it looked like it was a great job. It checked all her boxes. But when she got there, something in her spirit just wasn't settled. It checked all her boxes. I mean, it wasn't anything that even happened. Everybody was smiling. Everything looked good. But something in her spirit checked her, and she turned down that job. And then she knows why now, looking back. So sometimes our plan and what we think looks good isn't always what God wants. So trust Him. Don't worry. Don't stress. Trust your King. Verse 28. Can't change a thing by worrying. Why do you worry about clothing? Understand, he's talking to a very basic culture who didn't have a, you know, their biggest thing was water, food, shelter, and clothing, which should really still be our major focus, but it's not anymore. It says, why take you thought for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? Think about that. You ever go up in here in North Iredale? They got some beautiful, they did, they're probably gone now, beautiful canola fields. That yellow canola fields, just beautiful. I mean, there's not much prettier than a canola field. Most of that's probably gone now. If God clothes those fields with those flowers, those canola and those daisies and all the beauty, the sunflowers, and, you know, we was at Biltmore House a few months ago, me and Melanie, and they had a whole field of sunflowers, just beautiful sunflowers. Next time I went, they were gone. They were there. Now they're gone. If God puts that much effort into making sure those sunflowers rise, how much more will He take care of us? Let's get our mind wrapped around that. God, you're going to take care of me. The trees bud every single spring. You know, here's the thing about spring, I've said. Spring, what spring really is life overcoming death. The winter kills everything, but then spring comes again. And the buds begin to bud on the trees. The flowers begin to bloom. The grass turns green and begins to grow. Everything comes to life again. Spring is breaking the back of death of winter. If God provides so much beauty in nature, how much more will He take care of you? Trust Him for your situation. Trust Him for your grief, for your pain, for your future. Trust Him for your past. Trust Him for all situations. Trust Him that He's going to make a way when you don't see that way. Trust Him. He's your King. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to walk away in the midst of your trouble or trials. He is not going to abandon you. He is going to make a way. He always does. He's my King, and I'm His child. And I'm not going to be left unheard and unkept and unprovided for. He's going to make a way. In my life, I've seen God make a way. I was telling them this the other day. It may not always be the way that we want to make it, but through our life, through my life, and through me and Melanie's life of 27 years, God, through some means, some way, has always made a way for our needs to be met. Always. I don't think I've ever, since I've been married, ever, that I remember, going and asking my parents to borrow money once I got married. Ever. God has always provided. He's always taken care of me. Now, it may not, and here we got to be careful of. We get very complainful and grumbly, don't we? The car that I drive, church, just so you know, is a 2005, so it's 15 years old. It's got 220,000 miles on it. But you know what? It gets me where I need to go. I can come visit Chuck and knock him in the head when he needs it. I can go see Kevin, tell him to chill. I can go to the hospital and visit who I need to go. It'll take me anywhere I want to go. I would get in that car, and I would go to California today if I had to. I don't know what to make it, but I would try. I don't have to have a brand new car to say, look how good God is. I'm just thankful I don't have a Jeep, church. I'm just telling you. I've had that car almost 3 years. It's been in the shop one time in 3 years. One time. That Jeep in the shop one time every 2 or 3 months. My mechanic, when I used to pull up, I go, I'm thankful I've got something that gets me where I need to go. Melon's car is a 2008, 11 years old. Car runs like a top. You ever heard that expression, runs like a top? That's an old-timer expression. Don't know what it means. I've always said it. Runs like a top. I don't know what a top is. Oh, a spinning top. Oh, okay. I guess you're older than me, Marge. So, 11 years old. You know what? Melanie's always bragging her. You know, I like my little car. I know it's 11 years old. And got, hers got 247,000 miles. I said, you know what? It gets me where I need to go. And I, it's all about perception, right? Both our cars get us where we need to go. Would I like to have something a little more updated? I don't even have a CD player in my car. Are they? Yeah. That's how old my car is. Oh, yeah. Our house we're in was built in 1915. Was any of y'all even born? Anybody? Yeah. Who says new stuff's always better? Things get better with age. Look at me. So, if God clothes the grass of the field, and it's here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he take care of you? God does take care of his children, and I am so thankful. Trust your king this morning. It goes on to say, verse 31, take no thought, once again, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. God knows what you need. When you got a power bill that comes in the mail and you can't pay it, you will be in the dark if you don't pay it. God knows your need. I'm telling you. And God will make a way and provide for you. The Bible says that God supplies all of our needs according to James D. Lewis's riches and glory. God shall supply all of our needs according to the riches of his glory. He don't run out, church. God has got more money up there than the Denver Mint. And God can make it come to you and provide for you whenever you need it. God will make a way. Trust your king and trust his timing. God is not a Chick-fil-A drive-thru. He's not a two-minute God. From the time you do your order, the time you're picking at the window, it's 2 minutes or less. That ain't sometimes how God works. Sometimes God can. But most time he doesn't work on a two-minute schedule. But he does work according to his plan for your life. Trust him. I'm going to trust him. You know, going back to Lion King, Pumbaa and Timba. Timon and Pumbaa. They didn't worry about their days, did they? They got up every morning, just going through the jungle, marching along, you know, kind of like the flower children of the 60s. Hey, man. Peace and love, man. I ain't worried about nothing up in here. They're just marching along, you know, no worries, you know, whatever happens that day just happens to happen. Man, if we could learn to live a life like that, whew, you know how much energy we are wasting, how much precious peace we're losing, how much joy is escaping our lives because we can't stop worrying about our situation or what may happen tomorrow. And sometimes we even dream or we have tormenting dreams about, you know, that fear attacks even our dreams. And we got to remind ourselves, Lord, you're my king. You're going to take care of me. I can't live every day worrying about what is or what isn't. I'm just going to trust that you are. That's all that matters. You are God. You are everything I'll ever, ever need. You give me what mama can't give me, what daddy can't give me, what husband can't give me, what children can't give me, what my wife can't give me. God, you can give me all things, and I trust you over them all. And I love you, God, over them all. He must be number one in our lives, church. He must be. God knows we need all of these things. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, all of your needs, shall be added, shall be met. As we seek the will of God, we will get our needs met. It's about seeking your will, God, your plan, God, putting you first over our lives, over all situations, before our own needs. And we know each of us have a little bit of selfishness. And we all have a little bit of selfishness in us. Me and Dee had that conversation right before service. We all got a little selfishness in us, don't we, Dee? Who cares they're sick? Let me get better first. Right? One drop of cough medicine left me. You know, that we all have a little bit of that in us. But if we're always self-seeking to please the flesh, we miss out on the will of God. Remember, it's the will of God that's important. It's the will of God that we should be seeking, because that's the best plan. You know, you've got insurance plans, right? Plan A, this is the cream of the crop. It costs the most money, but it's got the best benefits. Plan B is a more moderate plan. You know, better price, still pretty good benefits. Then you got level C. You know, really cheap price, but you go die with no insurance. You know, you got three plans there. God's plan's the A plan. It's always the best plan. So, God, I want to seek your will for my life. I'm going to trust you above what I can't see and what I don't understand and what I don't yet know. I'm going to trust my King above all of those things. Because I know some of you in here, you're praying for things and you've been praying for things that haven't come to pass yet. You're praying for physical healing. You're praying for financial breakthrough. You're praying for your unsaved children. You know, you're praying for maybe your marriage. You're praying for a job situation that would be better for you than where you're at now. You're praying for peace because you don't have any. You're praying for freedom from addiction in your life. You know, all of us have something that we're praying for, that we need, that we're desiring. And maybe that's not been answered yet. Keep trusting your King. He's going to meet those needs. He's going to break those chains. He's going to make that way. He's going to bring that provision into your life in the right time, in the right season, in the right place, where you're at when it's time for you. So I'm going to trust you, God. How long do I trust God? You trust him always. Well, if on my deathbed and he's still in your last breath, God, I trust you and I worship you. Because we know how it ends for us. We know how it ends for God's people. We know the end story of everlasting, immortal, eternal life with our King. So the end is good for all of us as God's people. It ends up well. Yes, we go through battles here. Doesn't mean God doesn't care. But I think sometimes our battles, and I don't need to be a negative Nancy. Is there any Nancy's in here this morning? A negative, oh yeah. Sorry, I don't mean to be a negative Nancy, as the old saying goes, but you know what? There are times, I believe, in our lives that we are in a position that causes us to seek God in a way we would not seek him if we were not in that position. When Charles got locked up, he didn't have a whole